Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. There's so many things that we could talk about today in our world, but the greatest message, the greatest subject, the greatest person that we can discuss today is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's why we named the broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus. The Bible has a lot to say about a lot of things, but the greatest message in all of the Bible is the message of God's grace and His great salvation through His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we're just getting ready to get into what I believe is kind of a keynote message for this year, this brand new year that God has allowed us to enter into. And we pray that every Christian, every believer will stay tuned to this broadcast today. And we pray that if you are not a Christian, that you will join us as we gather around the Word of God, and that you will clearly understand that God wants to save you, seal you for eternity, and bless you on your pilgrimage down here. Hallelujah. So we want to talk about that today. In just a few moments, we want to talk about the great subject of being blessed to bring glory to God. Something that God does for our good and His glory. And so it's a win-win. God is glorified and we are blessed by Him. Praise the Lord. And our text will be coming today out of Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. We've taken those seven verses for our study on this particular subject, and you don't want to miss this. And before we get into it, before we go any further, I'd like to invite you to come to our website. Simply type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates, and everything is free. There are no strings attached. If there are sermons that span 40 years of ministry here, there are Bible studies, there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, there is music, there's just a whole lot of things to inspire you, inform you, and pray that it blesses you. So you'll be welcome to come and get acquainted with us and our ministry. And we just thank God for WMAF today. We thank God for this radio station and being family friendly. We're glad to be part of the broadcast family here, and we are so glad to be partnered with others to reach people with the gospel of Christ. There are local ministries that broadcast right there live in Madison and North Florida, and from Madison and North Florida potentially to anywhere in the United States and any nation and place in the world that is connected to the World Wide Web. So having said all of that, let's get into God's good word today, and I believe this is a message that is to set a tenor and tone for this brand new year that we are in. God has a will and purpose for His people, and I believe it is to bless us that we might bring glory to His great name, that it might be He might distinguish us as His people and distinguish Himself in the process as the true and the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 67, 1 through 7. Let's read it together. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Amen. I like that. And one translation said, God will mark us. Actually, it's a paraphrase. God will mark us with blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, talking about the blessing last week, let's talk about qualifying for the blessing this week. When God can father you, when He can father me, that we're not just praying our Father which art in heaven as a preface to asking God for something, but a declaration of our relationship to Him and with Him in the new covenant. It becomes a powerful incentive for faith in Him and trust in Him and expectation from Him. And the thing that we need to get in our hearts today as Christians is that God wants to separate us from the world and mark us with blessing, that the world may know that we are indeed His people and that He is indeed the true and the living God. So the first prerequisite for God's blessing, God's favor in our life, answered prayer, supernatural intervention. Praise God. God putting His hand to open doors, making a way where there seems to be no way, is to come out from the prevailing attitudes and activities that would mark the culture of the last days. We find this principle in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Listen to it carefully. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen carefully, from such turn away. The New International says, have nothing to do with them. Doesn't mean we don't love people, interact with them, share Christ with them, but we don't follow their morals. We don't follow their values. We live in sharp contrast to the culture that would be on this earth in the last days. And I'm going to read it from the paraphrase just to put it into practical terms. And it said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in that is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they were religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. You see, we cannot be popular with the world and be blessed by God. We cannot be politically correct and be right with God. We must take a stand because we cannot serve two masters, God and mammon. But I want to give you the positive side of this. If we as Christians make a clean break with the world, we can claim the blessings of the Lord upon our life. We can boldly say our God will bless us. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Listen carefully. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God. There it is. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Glory be to God. Amen. What an incentive to live in sharp contrast to the world about us, to live counterculture, to acknowledge that we have a Father that we follow in heaven instead of just following the trends of a fallen world, particularly in the last days, in this perilous time. When we bow to no other God but to Christ and Christ alone, we can claim every promise of the covenant. This is not just a faith issue. This is an obedience issue. This is a values issue. This is a faithfulness issue. We need to settle it in our hearts that we might truly say, our God, even our own God, will bless us. So God will respond to us and acknowledge us as His children, as His very people. You see, if there's true repentance, there will be restored blessings and a reestablished testimony. And through it, God will be glorified. The first is in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 50 through 60. Those verses, chapter 8, verses 50 through 60. And before we read this, the Israelites have just completed the building of the temple. King Solomon offers a lengthy prayer, in part asking that God would meet His people's needs. He then gives them the reason why God should bless His people in this way. And here's the reason. So that all the peoples of the earth, he said, may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. Now, we're trying to convince the world of that with correct theology from a book that we believe wholeheartedly, the Bible. They care little about theology and no less, and they do not recognize the Bible as authoritative as we do. So how are we going to convince them? You know, the Bible said in the New Testament that this gospel did not come in word only, but it came in power, it came in the Holy Ghost, and it came in much assurance. Peter said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Paul spoke of not speaking with mere wisdom of words, but in a demonstration of spirit and power in his letter to the church at Corinth. Solomon asked for blessings so that all people everywhere might know that there is one God, that all other so-called gods are false, and that Yahweh, the God of Israel, is that true and living God. He asked for blessings so that the true God might be identified and glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to read this from 1 Kings, this prayer for this purpose. See, the subject here today is not just blessed for the sake of consuming it on ourselves, as much as we need His blessings in our life, but blessed to distinguish Him as the true and living God and to bring glory and honor to His great name. Let me read 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 50 through 60, and let's see how this plays out in this great prayer. Amen. It said, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them, that in all that they call upon thee. Amen. In other words, answer prayer. Let prayer not be some panacea, some wishful thinking, hopelessness that we just throw that out as a religious act with no real expectation or anticipation of the salvation of God, the intervention of God. Hallelujah. The answer that distinguishes his name and His person as the true and living God and distinguishes us as His true people. Verse 53 said, for thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And so it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. In other words, whatever the need is, that God could be called upon, and that need would be abundantly met. Listen, and the purpose of the blessing is not just to consume on ourselves. Verse 60 says that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Praise God. Amen and amen. God wants to mark his people with blessing. He wants to show up and show out in every church service where Christ is exalted and God's word is proclaimed and God is honored. I am convinced that this year is going to be a mighty, wonderful, powerful, life-changing year for so many people that will get a hold of this fact and this truth in Scripture. I believe God is going to counteract this move to discredit the Bible, to discredit the very concept of God, and to distinguish the true and living God from the false gods that are made man, literally. Amen. To distinguish him as the God that made man from man-made gods. Hallelujah. God is glorified when we honor and obey his word, and his blessings become evidenced in our life. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. It says, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? As our God is in all the things that we call upon him for. I'm going to read that again. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon him for? How do they know God is with this nation, close to this people? Because he answers prayer when they pray. Praise God. Amen. They have more than just the right religion. They have a real relationship with God. And what nation is there, verse 8 says, that is so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? There was a day right here in the United States of America that the Ten Commandments could be left in a courtroom and honored, because these are righteous commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. And thou shalt worship no other gods. It was a holy, righteous thing. I remember in Alabama in a courtroom some years ago when they ordered a granite replica of the Ten Commandments taken out of the courtroom And until they could get this heavy replication of the Ten Commandments out, till they could, movers could come and take it out, they covered it up with a tarpaulin. Covering up. I looked at it. I couldn't believe that here in America, we could see the day when the Ten Commandments would be covered up and concealed because it would be may offend someone, and the law would not allow the Ten Commandments to stand in a courtroom. When prayer was taken out of the classroom, in essence, the same thing happened. And the push to change Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays, from Christmas itself to a solstice, a winter solstice, for carols to not allowed to be sung if it involved little town of Bethlehem or Silent Night. We see the push, even in our own nation, to push God out, and we see the pressure on Christians to compromise, to be accepted by the world and by our peers. It's not just peer pressure in schools and colleges, but in the populace, in the workplace, where we go and we interact. I'm going to tell you something today. I need the blessing of the Lord. I need my prayers answered. I need God's intervention when the trouble comes. I need my family members saved. I need God to convict them. I need God to shake those things that look like they cannot be shaken. I need His hand extended. Oh, my friend, it is so good to be identified with Him, to be able to call Him my God, and to have Him acknowledge me as His child, one of His covenant people. Praise the Lord. There will be joy and praise in the sight of God and the nations when we're able to say, who has a God like our God? A God so nigh us in all that we call upon Him for. Hallelujah. No other ruler, no other God will be just and straight and upright in His dealings. No other ruler, no other God will guide them in the paths of righteousness. Indeed, we find the same Hebrew word translated guide in Psalm 23:3. He leads me in paths of righteousness, listen, for His name's sake. Ah, friend, Muslims or Buddhists or nominal Christians, all those who are without a vital relationship with the only living and true God, do not have what the Apostle Peter calls joy inexpressible, the deep gladness and joy of knowing God Himself. You know, He said it this way in the New Covenant, whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can't just argue with other religions, and we can't just argue with the world system that our God is the true and living God strictly from a biblical base, even though it's found to be true in the Bible. The Bible is not their book. They don't necessarily believe the Bible yet. That argument has to be made through our relationship with our God in the sight of those people that are without God and without hope in this present world. God's blessing marks us as His people, and God's blessing marks Him and distinguishes Him as the true and the living God. For if God is at the center of all things, if He is the most beautiful, most loving, most powerful of all beings, recognizing who He is, being in relationship to Him, being led and guided and governed by Him, is the greatest source of joy imaginable. So there's no conflict between glorifying God and the gladness of the people, His people. The people have joy as they glorify God. Indeed, the more joy they have in Him, the more they glorify Him. As one great minister said, we can underline this truth by changing one word in the answer to find the question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. When God's people begin to have prayers answered, there's joy in the camp. When God supernaturally intervenes, there is joy among God's people. When Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the sick were healed, and demons were cast out, and people were set free and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and there was great joy in that city. The New Covenant says, having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Whom having not seen, we haven't seen Him, and yet we've come to know Him through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Amen. And we fall in love with God, and we fall in love with Jesus Christ, and the relationship we now have produces joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That joy unspeakable, the old timers put it this way, it's better felt than telt. We can try to explain it. I can try to explain it. I've spent a lifetime almost preaching the Word of God, trying to explain what God has done for us in Jesus Christ on that cross, and what it has accomplished, what it means to be reconciled unto God, and not just get religion, but come into a right relationship with the God who sent His Son to save us. Hallelujah. To have our sins forgiven, to be accepted in the Beloved, to be brought into God's royal family, to be called the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. To be able to pray to the Creator of heaven and earth and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. To be able to cry, Abba, Father, as we are commanded to do. Amen. That we are told this is how to express and acknowledge this new, intimate, personal relationship that we now have with God. To be able to say, Abba, Father, and have the Holy Spirit acknowledge and confirm immediately, that is absolutely correct. This is your standing that you have with God. I'm expecting prayers to be answered this year as God's people humble themselves and pray and seek His face and believe Him with an expectant heart. I'm expecting God to move so mightily to do good in the lives of His people and to bring honor and glory to His name through doing that good. God has been getting us ready to receive, posturing us for blessing by developing our character spiritually and building our faith. So get ready. Our God, the true God, our God, the good God, our God, the great God, our God, the almighty God, our God, the Father God, our God, the shepherd God, our God, the everlasting God, our God, the saving God, the delivering God, the healing God, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, even our own God, shall bless us. Hallelujah. And His name shall be glorified among the nations. I'm expecting great things from the Lord this year. Not because it's a new year, but because we are beginning to see in the Word that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who struck a covenant with Abraham, has brought us into a covenant relationship through Jesus Christ. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to bless His name. Spread His fame. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, God wants to save you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to be reconciled to you and have you reconciled to Him. God wants you to know Christ as your Savior. If today, right now, right where you are, you repent of your sin, invite Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. This day, God, even your God, will bless you in this life and eternal life in the world to come. Well, our time is gone. Please pray that prayer and come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. To the Lord of hosts.
From the rising of the sun till the end of every day.